Listen to Today with Sean O'Rourke with the RTE Radio Player.
Specialists spanning the fields of public health, social policy, law, human rights, migration and racism have written to the Justice Minister, Charlie Flanagan, about their concerns that asylum seekers in direct provision here have no means to practice social distancing as advised by the health authorities. Meanwhile, the Minister and his colleague, the Minister of State with Responsibility for Immigration, David Stanton, have announced that more than 650 new beds have been procured to support international protection applicants during the COVID-19 crisis. The Minister for Justice, Charlie Flanagan, Justice and Equality, is on the line now. Minister, I suppose the question is, are asylum seekers in a position to follow the social distancing guidelines put in place by your own government and its health advisers?
Indeed. Morning, Sean. And this is one of the many challenges that we're facing as a society. Obviously, myself and Minister Stanton, indeed everybody across the Department of Justice and our agencies, were very concerned at the situation and indeed the vulnerability of people in direct provision, people who are awaiting their applications to be dealt with as to whether or not they may be in a position legally to remain for the foreseeable future in our state. And I believe it's important that the concerns that you mentioned were met. And that's why we managed, after a considerable amount of work, to procure a further 650 new beds, which are now coming on stream. That will alleviate something of the pressure that's on many of our centres in terms of complying with the government and public health guidelines.
Yeah, but I see a statement responding to your announcement from the movement of asylum seekers in Ireland saying they're deeply troubled because, for instance, new direct provision centres have the same congregated settings where asylum seekers, they share intimate living spaces like bedrooms, communal bathrooms, dining areas, often in large numbers.
Yeah, and that's why we're moving to mitigate the problems and deal with the issues. Obviously, we're dealing with people here who are in a congregated setting. Some of the centres are big, some of the centres are not so big. But I have to say that we're working very positively with all of the management of the centres right across the country. And there are just about 40 centres. They are all of different dimensions. But I'm satisfied that the new regulations are now taking place right across the direct provision estate. We have, for example, the provision of gels and soaps, advices, oftentimes required in different language and translators. I'm not underestimating this challenge, but what I'm saying is that both Minister Stanton, myself and my officials are working very hard in order to ensure that the vulnerable are dealt with in a way that's now, right and proper in the circumstances.
These 650 beds that have been announced, are they just being made available on a temporary basis, or what is the plan?
Well, obviously, direct provision is changing. It's a challenge that we've had in terms of its organisation and management even before the crisis. What we have done now is acquired hotel accommodation in Dublin, in Galway and Cork. At the same time, however, we are engaged in procuring new centres. In Carrigrohane, for example, in Rosslare Harbour, in Tullamore and my own constituency. So this is an ever-changing scenario because we want to ensure that our centres meet our own national standards and meet international
standards.
I know,
but I'm just wondering, who gets these 650 beds? Are they all being put to use, or are some of them being held back for use for instance, isolation purposes?
Oh, no, I expect that they will all be brought into use at the earliest opportunity. Obviously, when we speak of vulnerable people in society, we talk about people over 65, and we talk about people with underlying or pre-existing medical conditions. In our direct provision estate, for example, we have a mere 57 people of the entire 5,600 over the age of 65. I'm assuming that these will be the prime candidates for relocation. Similarly, people who are vulnerable and obviously looking at areas, for example, where there may be small rooms in centres that would be smaller than many in the other areas.
I don't know if you've seen the statement from Massey.
I see them on a daily basis, Sean.
They're talking, for instance, about the centre in Ennis, the new direct provision centre in Ennis, where 7 asylum-seeking men were forced to share a bedroom that would suit one person.
Yeah, I don't know the size or dimensions of the room. I've seen some misleading information on social media. What I am saying, however, and what both Minister Stanton and myself are really keen to ensure is that, for example, social distancing, which obviously is a vital tool in protecting good health, in ensuring that we save lives, in ensuring that we stop the spread, that we can have our rooms in our centres that conform to these particular standards. And that's what we're working towards, and that's what we will achieve.
And what about health workers who would be living in direct provision? We've come across cases of that as well.
Many of these are working. Many of their talents have been put to very good use. And I believe that, again, is one of the advantages.
So would they be prioritised for this new accommodation, for instance?
Yes. It will be people who are vulnerable, and it will be people who are in centres where we are not in a position to comply with the social distancing. And I would expect that over the next few days you will see a relocation, firstly of the more vulnerable, and then people who are in conditions that might require attention.
Yeah, what about the whole question of the Gardaí and domestic violence minister? They come out very strongly this morning to say this will be prioritised, there'll be no let up. I mean, how confident can we be that there will be proper follow through on that?
Well, an upsurge of domestic violence is an insidious trend in any crisis, and it's no different in this, I regret to say. I'm very confident, however, with the work of the Garda Síochána. I'm very proud indeed of Garda Síochána in excess of 14,750 of them. And yes, they have prioritised domestic violence, dealing with these issues by way of callback, in fact going further than that and contacting people whose names might be on their books. And again, I wish to reiterate that the courts are open for business in terms of emergency barring and protection orders. The court offices are open, obviously not for visits, but for online and phone call services. So yes, those people who are suffering domestic violence or victims of domestic violence can feel reassured that the Gardaí and the courts and the states and the state is with them at this very difficult and challenging time.
And what about the concerns of we heard from Antoinette Quinn earlier on the concerns for the members of the Garda sergeants and inspectors, and also I presume on behalf of all their members, that the members of the force would have access to sufficient quantities of the proper protective equipment?
Yeah, I listened earlier in your show to Antoinette Cunningham.
Sorry, I called her Quinn, my apologies.
I very much understand her concerns, but again, as she is proud of the Garda service, so am I. And I believe that the Gardaí know the communities in this country, and the communities are very supportive of the Gardaí in this time. And yes, I very much agree with her that there are issues in terms of PPE, and I was very pleased to see the Gardaí place an order for 16,000 spit hoods. I expect they will be on the way because they act as a protector for our Garda Síochána. However, on the other hand, it needs to be pointed out that groups like the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, Liam Herrick, was out with a statement on the matter of human rights. So what we have to do here is to strike a balance. By striking a balance, we accept the advice, and I accept the advice of Commissioner Drew Harris, who is my expert in terms of Garda and security, as Tony Houlihan is in health.
Yeah, just on the question she raised about people who are brought, admittedly, albeit a very small minority of people, brought before the courts, initially district courts, charged with spitting offences at this time, that there should be no question of the Garda agreeing to bail.
Yeah, these are reprehensible acts. We've had two or three of them before the courts already, and I was pleased to see the courts are dealing with them in quite a rigorous and robust way. I'm sure that will continue. The offence is there. There are pretty hefty fines. On the matter of bail, obviously the application can be made by the inspector, by the superintendent, and ultimately the judge will decide on that.
Right. Now, I suppose inevitably the question of prison accommodation is a related matter there where bail is concerned. I see a headline today, nearly 600 prisoners released, according to the Irish Times this morning. That's double the numbers that you would normally have on temporary release or early release.
Yeah. If we spoke about direct provision a few moments ago, Sean, this again is very much of a challenge in terms of our prison and our prison population. In fact, over 7,000 people work and live in our prisons. Again, we have taken extraordinary measures through the prison service. For example, all visits have been suspended. We're following strictly the advice of the public health officials. Staff are subjected to the temperature being taken. And of course, the question of overcrowding. We need to ensure that there is sufficient room, not only for isolation, if necessary, but also for day-to-day living within our prisons. So you're right, there are between 500 and 600 prisoners out on temporary release. These have been done on a case-by-case basis, ensuring that they're not a danger to the public. And all of them are people who are heading towards the end of their sentences.
Okay, just to go back briefly to where we started, Minister, Dr. Eamon Fallor, an infectious disease specialist registrar at Cork University Hospital a few days ago, described direct provision centres as powder kegs for COVID-19. Are you satisfied that your extra 650 beds will defuse that possibility?
Yes. And we can go further. I do acknowledge the unique nature of direct provision centres in terms of people living together on a 24/7 basis. We have acquired a total of 650 new beds. We are on a daily basis in contact with our management of the 39-40 centres up and down the country. And again, we will make further improvements as needs be.
More beds if needs be, or more rooms?
Absolutely.
Okay.
With both.
Minister, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Charlie Flanagan, Minister for Justice and Equality, there on the line. Thank you indeed for joining us, Minister. And as though we needed any reminders, which we don't, about the deadly nature of this plague, the coronavirus death toll in Spain has surged over 9,000 on Wednesday after a record 864 deaths in 24 hours were recorded, with the number of confirmed cases now passing the 100,000 mark. That's according to the Spanish government, which has the world's second highest death toll after Italy, with the virus claiming so far 9,053 lives and the number of confirmed cases reaching 102,136. Although, if you want to take something positive, the health ministry in Spain is saying the rate of new infections has continued a downward trend.